offended. You know, say whatever you want about me. I'm a big fanboy. I'm, you know, in Microsoft's pocket. What? Fine. I don't give a shit. But you fucked up Halo.
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield. A shameful display!
Gotta boo it.
I think it's a pretty good thing. It's pretty alright. I mean, you know, it's whatever.
That's our new tagline, the Nudist Trip Podcast. It's whatever.
It's whatever.
It's dot 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 whatever.
Whatever. Ellipses is also.
Question mark?
The ellipses is part of the TM, so don't. Part of the trademark, guys. So yeah, so we're back. Back at your place. We played a game that wasn't old at all. No old-ass game today, but we will be talking about some old-ass games, because what we played today was a Resident Evil game. What's it called again?
Resident Evil Revelations 2.
Revelations 2.
It's an episodic game made by Capcom that... they released in small chunks.
Right, yeah.
As weekly downloads.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you get a couple hours of the game, you know, kind of so, smaller chopped up sections.
Okay, so it's weekly. It's not so much like, it's not so much like Telltale. Like
no, it's not a monthly thing right. like you get on a Telltale games.
Right.
And we played about roughly the first hour and 15 minutes or so. We got to the first character swap.
Yeah. Yeah.
You play as, just like in Resident Evil 5 and Resident Evil 6, you're traveling in two character teams.
Yeah.
You know, you can, unlike Resident Evil 5, and I don't believe 6 let you do this either, you can swap between the characters.
Right.
And they each have, different abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's, you know, they give you basically core conceits of why the other person doesn't carry a gun, but they can do something else that the other person can't.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Sure.
Gameplay.
Yeah, so it was interesting. Kind of had an Outlast-y vibe to it, but not as good.
Yeah, it at times, the first episode takes place in a cell block, in a prison,
yeah.
On like this island fortress that Jill gets taken to. Before we get too far into this, I want to... Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Jill was in the first Revelations.
Right,
and,
yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, like, you know, just...
Whichever. The
dark-haired lady in tight clothes.
Res girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. There
but, yeah, so you're in this this island fortress trying to get out. Before we get too far, though...
Yeah.
Terra save,
yeah. That's... I didn't understand what you meant when you said that.
Yeah, so the very beginning of the game, there's this commercial. It seems like every fucking game, they come up with a new organization that all these people are going to be a part of that's going to fight against Umbrella or Tricell or whatever company it is now that's
right.
Making all these zombies.
Zombie Inc.
And the new one is TerraSave, because not every Terra has to have a wrist.
This
is fucking dumb... And it's Terra save? Like, there's not an
terror.
A in terrorist!
Yeah, it's not terror save, even. Like, we're because terrorists...
We're saving you from terror!
The root word is terror, guys, not Terra, but whatever.
Somebody got a corner office for coming up with that.
Terra save sounds like an eco thing, doesn't it? Like, saving Earth kind of deal, because that's what Terra is.
It's like some assholes that are going to be shooting water in a whaling ship.
Yeah, exactly. Terra save with Captain Phil whatever. Fat ass. Phil bearded douchebag.
Yeah. The game, it's definitely a modern Resident Evil game.
Right.
And you can take from that what you want.
Yeah.
It's got the, you know, you can move while you shoot. It's basically Gears of War control.
Yeah.
You know, Ace prints forward. You can look in all directions and strafe and all that fun stuff.
Got the over shoulder cam.
Yeah, that tight Resident Evil 4 cam. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been prominent in the series since then.
Yeah.
It's you know, we haven't played a ton of it. I wouldn't be willing to, you know, draw too sharp of feelings on it, but it, I don't know. I think the enemies look real dumb.
Yeah.
I think the game, this isn't necessarily the game's fault so much. It's also on old consoles.
Right.
It's on PS3, 360, PC, Xbox One, PS4.
Right.
So, like, just, you get up on some textures and some of them look grody.
Yeah.
And, gross. You know, it's designed to be delivered in small chunks, you know, downloadable, so you can't necessarily hold it to the same standards as something that's a $60 disc.
Right.
But even so, on the disc that I'm playing it on, it's the complete collection with some extra costumes and junk. It's still $40.
Right, yeah, still 40 bucks. It's $20 less than the full price, technically, but... Yeah, the frame rate's kind of low, too.
Yeah, it's jumpy.
Yeah, it jumps a lot.
I noticed in the cinematics more than anything, because those may be pre-rendered, even though they run in-engine.
Sure.
There's a couple of pre-rendered cutscenes in there that are actually FMV style.
Right.
Well, CG.
Right.
Yeah. That...
Not like the old-school FMV.
No. They're not actual dudes. Although, if there were, that would be sick.
That would be pretty awesome.
I don't know how much I've said this on this podcast before. I love an FMV.
An FMV's came back, man. I'd be down.
Fuck yeah. Put Christopher Walken in there.
Chris Walken in there?
Yeah.
Playing the Ripper?
Yeah. It's sequel to Ripper. I'm kickstarting this right now.
Do it.
But yeah, like, it's... it doesn't... It's not grabbing me.
Right.
But that can kind of be said about a lot of modern-day Resident Evils. I feel like 4 is a fucking incredible game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a landmark achievement in third-person shooters.
Right.
Without that game, I'm convinced that we might not have Gears of War in the form that we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of that was really driven by Killswitch in the Gears of War design, but there's so much of the Resident Evil 4 tight cam, the way that the aiming works, a lot of that stuff that felt very analogous to Resident Evil 4 that was in Gears of War. So, but, you know, I kind of consider Resident Evil 4, it was such a drastic departure and really started to get away from a lot of the horror aspects of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's where that series started to turn. And I don't think anybody should be shocked that, you know, what we got after that was Resident Evil 5, which was just kind of a dumb action movie.
It kind of evolved into dumb action. It evolved into their movie series, actually. The games actually became more like the movies.
Well, you know, it got really fucked up where they started taking stuff that was, like, basically retconned by the movies and reincorporating that back into the games. And
right.
That's when I was like, holy shit!
But we will get into that in more depth, because that's what we're doing today. Because we covered this, we're going to cover games that a series of games that we both pretty much experienced the most, for the most part. We're going to cover the Res series, the Resident Evil series,
specifically the early entries. Mm-hmm.
Yes, one through three, I think, is where we're going to cover them.
Yeah, and we can kind of touch on Code Veronica because that's still in that typical form.
Sure, sure.
But after Code Veronica, that's where the series drastically changed.
Yes, yes. Went into four and became what it is known now, pretty much. And it became what this game kind of is. It's kind of a, you know, it's a watered-down version of 4, and, you know.
And it took them so long to reboot that series control-wise. You know, you could see they kept adding things to the games, but were trying to keep the locked perspective. And then in Code Veronica, they added the sliding cameras that you got in Dino Crisis.
Yeah.
So what? Because the environments were now 3D and not pre-rendered.
Yeah.
But it was still a locked, even though it was on a slider, it was still a locked perspective.
Yeah.
And they spent so long through three iterations trying to remake what Resident Evil was.
Yeah.
And there was that Leon in the Hallway demo where it was like the ghost house.
Oh, yeah.
There's that one trailer that's out there for that where Leon gets infected and
yeah.
You know, looks almost like a ghost story sort of thing, and he's in an obviously umbrella-ish mansion.
Yeah.
That was the one trailer we ever saw that. Never saw any gameplay out of that, just that one trailer. The other version of Resident Evil 4 is Devil May Cry.
Oh, yeah.
That was originally a Resident Evil game.
That's true. It was originally going to be a Res game. Yeah.
Stylish, hot action. I fucking hate all the words that they throw around with Devil May Cry. I fucking hate it. I thought that first Devil May Cry was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But really, the reboot is probably the Devil May Cry I like the most.
A lot of people.
Because it's the one that's, you know, like, the most, like, a human game that somebody would make.
Sure.
Is not a fucking weirdo.
Someone that's actually based in reality, has a world based in reality.
Although my favorite part of the entire Devil May Cry series is definitely that sequence at the end of the first game where they're riding away in that dumb plane.
That's true.
That is the dumbest ending to a video game ever. Holy shit!
Oh, man. Dante is just one of those guys, it's like, he's just always cool about everything. And that kind of gets really annoying, honestly. It's like, she just shut up your entire shop, and you're just like, cool, man, whatever. Like, why are you okay with this?
Motorcycles, right?
Why are you okay with this?
Yeah. Before we get into much more about the Resident Evil series, let's talk about the news. Well, before that, you played anything else this week?
Yeah, stuff we've played. What you've been playing? I played a little bit of Life is Strange, which is Squeenix, Square Enix's venture into episodic gaming, I guess is what you'd say. Telltale-type gaming or whatever.
Yeah, episodic.
Episodic. It was interesting. I wanted to punch every character that was in it. They were all art school students and a photography teacher that just was full of pretentiousness. And I think it was deliberate. Like, I believe, like, you actually were supposed to hate these people. Like, that's what it kind of felt that way to me. Because, like, they would do and say things that were very exclusionary, and you had this time jump ability, right? That's like the kind of the mechanic of the game, is she can turn back time. She has no idea why or how, but
if I could turn back time,
right?
If I could find a way.
Careful, we'll get flagged. You sung that way too close, man. I don't know. Might get copyrighted for that one. Main character's name is Max.
Is anybody named Sam?
If
you're going to make an adventure game that's episodic and you've got a Sam, where's the Max?
I forget what the other girl's name is. Is it Sam? It might be Sam. I didn't even think about that. But it's got an interesting story that's kind of evolving underlying all the rest of it, because there's this missing student that Max has never met before, but everybody else knows. So it's kind of got this Twin Peaks vibe about it. Like, what's her face? The murder victim of Twin Peaks. That's
Laura Palmer?
Laura Palmer. She's got a very Laura Palmer vibe, as everybody's like, knows her. It's like, oh yeah, Laura, she was great. And she knew everybody, but not a whole lot.
She's dead.
Yeah, but
wrapped in plastic.
Nobody knows what happened to her. She just disappeared. And that's not really the mystery at all, but it's just kind of like the underlying thing of what's going on.
All right. I feel like you've described the core conceit of the story here. Fuck's it play like? What do you do?
Well, you basically just go through... A lot like the Telltale games. You talk to people and you kind of uncover more about the story and everything.
Okay, are you combining like a pulley and a rubber chicken? Like, what are you doing here?
The way you actually have to get information out of people is to basically go through, because you can go through the answers of things, and then you turn back time if you have the wrong answers, or they tell you the right answer right after, right? So then you can turn back that time, back to the beginning of that conversation.
So you can just be a know-it-all dick?
Basically.
And that's fucked up.
But what's funny about it is just, like, they all behave like know-it-all assholes, and she's just, like, the plain Jane. So, like, they kind of treat her like shit.
So she's the Lindsay Lohan.
She's the Lindsay Lohan, and yet she uses the time powers.
Why are those girls so mean?
Yeah, basically. She uses the time powers to, like, basically, like, take the information that she gains immediately, go back to the beginning of the conversation, and pretend like she knows what the fuck she's talking about.
That's the most boring use of time travel I've ever heard of in my entire life.
I know, right? Well, at the very beginning...
That's like saying, like, I've got time travel abilities, I'm going to go back and re-experience that dump from this morning.
At the very beginning, she does do something worthwhile. She saves the life of a girl that she doesn't quite know or doesn't think she knows. She goes into the bathroom, and then this jock dude comes in, and he's, like, talking kind of crazy. And then this other chick comes in and is like, I'll tell your parents that, you know, you're a drug dealer, et cetera, you know, because he's, like, the perfect jock guy. So he doesn't want to get that thing, so he pulls a gun on her and basically shoots her. There's a struggle or whatever. So he shoots her or whatever. So then Max, like, she's, like, hiding in the girl's bathroom and sees all this. So she turns back time back to the beginning of the class, and it's like, did I just jump through time, et cetera, et cetera. So then she
plants a bag of weed on him and fucking narcs him out. Fucking narc?
Well, no. Well, she does narc him out later for having the gun.
What a bitch.
Well, you can choose to narc him out or not.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't narc his ass out, man. I'd be like, shoot that bitch.
Well, it turns out...
Right, I definitely don't feel that way. I'm coming off like a real big fucking misogynist
I think so. Well, turns out the girl that you end up saving is your childhood friend that you knew before you moved away and moved back. So you're both kind of going to... She's not going to that school. She's just kind of a roughshod thug now with, like, dyed hair. Didn't recognize her. So, but now it's like you realize, oh, that was my best friend from when I was, like, 5 years ago before I moved away.
So it's like the butterfly effect.
Right. So, yeah, it's exactly like butterfly effect. It's very much like butterfly effect.
So is it, like, kind of depressing, but also really unbelievable?
Yeah, basically. Everybody talks really pretentiously and stupidly, and every little thing is, like, really affecting towards somebody. And
There's not going to be a part with, like, a neighbor kid's dad and a camera, is there?
There might be.
I hope not.
It feels like they're getting, like, because they keep throwing these, like, they keep throwing out these red herrings about who, you know, like, what happened to Ashley, what's her face, the Palmer character. You just don't know what happened to her. So there's all these red herrings of, like, okay, the creepy sketcher guy, he knew her, and he's kind of a creep, and she would always model for him, but she was also part of, like, the frat crew, because they were part of this whole, like, frat group, and, like, they... So she basically got along with everybody, everybody liked her, but nobody knew anything about her, except for your friend... Your ex-friend who you just reconciled with and got back together with and everything, who was actually her lover. So they were actually an item before she disappeared. She's convinced somebody killed her, etc., etc. And that's pretty much where it ends. You kind of confess to her you have time powers, and she just kind of buys it, I think.
So I've got this conversation rolling around in my head.
Yeah.
I was a lesbian with her. Oh, yeah, that's okay. I've got a secret, too. I can fucking time travel. And I can see just in my mind, the lesbian looks at her and goes, you've always got to fucking
one-up me.
You've always got to fucking one-up me.
Even when we were kids, you had to fucking...
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, it's a little weird. I can't say it wasn't...
This doesn't sound like a very great game.
It's not. I'm not going to say that it is.
You know, props for having a homosexual, semi-lead in this game. And
sure.
For seemingly trying to deal with it in a mature way.
Right.
It's not like some kind of Japanese dating sim where everybody gets nosebleeds all the time or something.
There is that weird part about it that's kind of like this was made by a Japanese crew and they kind of have an idea of what American schools are like, and it's really weird.
They're like, some of the people are gay, I've heard that.
it's like this just strange kind of like, it kind of, it's a school, it's like a high school, but it's like a college. It's really weird. Like, they have a really odd sense of hair, Willow.
I think she just licked the microphone.
I think she licked the mic. That's going to show up. That'll be
great.
Fun. All right. I'm not editing that at all. So it's got this weird vibe to it of, like, is it college or is it a finishing school? And you just kind of realize, oh, it's made by Japanese people. That's why. You don't really get a clear vibe of what's going
on. Does anybody declare that someone else is their senpai?
No, that doesn't happen.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's not straight up just a Japanese school like Persona 4. That'd be nice.
Well, Brandon Kuhn.
Brandon Kuhn. Well, it would be Joan, because you have to do last name, right? If you're friends. Because I think, like, first name is, like, impersonal, isn't it? Or... I forget.
Ask me anything about the Japanese language.
What about the Japanese language?
Don't know shit.
Yeah, me neither. So anyway, but yeah, it's weird. It's a strange little bubble. I'll probably play the next chapter if it's there. I didn't pay for it, so.
All right, anything else you playing?
No, I haven't played Stranger yet. I need to play the Stranger. Haas, let me borrow Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, and... Need to play that. Haven't played it yet.
Hey, we're going to talk about that in an upcoming episode.
Yes, we will. But I haven't hooked up my Xbox One yet, so that'll happen. Not Xbox One. Xbox the first one, I should say.
I believe we just refer to it as the original
Xbox. The original Xbox. That's fine. Whatever. Like, fuck Xbox One. Damn it! That's what I always called the Xbox. I always called it the Xbox One, the first one, or whatever. Okay. But yeah, haven't hooked up my Xbox, so I haven't played that yet. And how about you? You played anything other than...
Resident Evil today. Since the last time we recorded, I bought a new PlayStation 4.
Right, that's right.
I'm re-PlayStationed.
Yes, because you got rid of your Wii.
Yeah, I got rid of my Wii U. Yeah. I made a very rash decision that I'm fully supportive of.
Yeah.
The delay of Zelda just kind of made me realize that, well, I've gotten S-ranks on every single... S-ranks and Platinums on every single level of Bayonetta 1 and Bayonetta 2.
Right.
I'm never going to play Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
I have zero interest in Mario Maker.
Right.
You know, like, I really liked Kirby's Epic Yarn, but I don't want to play a Yoshi game ever.
Yeah.
And I... There was no reason for me to hang out of that system, so I traded it in towards PS4.
There you go. Cool.
And so I got a PS4, and I checked out a copy of The Order.
The Order.
1886.
Beautiful demo, that thing.
That is a game that, for about the first hour that I played it, had me nailed to my couch because of how good it looked.
Yeah.
And after that, I was catching myself looking at my phone every 15 minutes. And got about halfway through that game, I guess about a total of 3 hours or so, and I'm never going to play that game again. That is boring.
Yeah, it didn't seem too enticing to me. It just...
Anybody who looks at that and says, like, well, yeah, it's just like a Gears of War style story. No, those games are interesting.
Yeah, they also have a...
They have more than two types of enemies.
Yeah, they have more than two types of enemies. They have more... They have better AI. Because they have two... Yeah, that's it. That's all they have is, like, they have a shot... They have a guy with a shotgun, and they have, whatever...
Well, they have snipers, they have shotgun guys, they have regular guys, and then right. Werewolves.
And werewolves, yeah.
And I guess, I hear at the end you encounter vampires...
Oh, okay. All right.
Somebody came into the store and he said, "You haven't gotten the vampires yet." I was like, "That doesn't do anything for me."
Wow, that didn't entice me to go further. Somehow, I don't like the werewolves have weird AI. Like the AI is just kind of bad in that game. Too many quick time events. The werewolves will do one attack then reset. If you notice that, they do one attack. Reset right back to where they were. They do not move around that room at all upon their track. They're just on a track, and that's it. So you dodge, you shoot at him, comes back, you dodge, you shoot at him.
Yeah.
That's it.
And if you don't dodge the right direction, you'll get hit, even if you do dodge them, because they'll come back. They're, as they're resuming their track, they'll end up clipping you in the back and attacking you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bad game.
Yeah, it's... beautiful to look at, I will say, but that's got to wear off pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Yeah, and so I downloaded some PlayStation Plus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Been goofing around with that a little bit.
Yeah.
Oddworld.
Oddworld, that's right.
New and tasty.
New and tasty.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I also redownloaded Hotline Miami 1.
Yeah.
I love Hotline Miami. I'm going to finish Hotline Miami 1 again, and then probably just buy the second one, even though I hear the second one's not incredible.
Yeah.
I could just sit and listen to that game all day.
Yeah.
I have a natural affinity for games of that style.
Right.
The, you know, games that are very ambient in their musical approach.
Sure.
And games that take a very simple concept.
Yeah.
And force you to be perfect.
Right. It's kind of got a... correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of got an original Grand Theft Auto vibe to it.
Except it's not open world, right. And you just go room by room eliminating hobos and drug dealers.
Right, yeah. But it kind of has that graphical vibe, like kind of top down.
Absolutely. We can play some of that later. You should see that game.
Yeah.
Have you never seen it?
I have seen it before. I was trying to remember what it was, because it's been a while since I saw it.
Bloodiest game.
Yeah, real bloody.
Real bloody.
Yeah, just paint the walls.
And just, you know, knock somebody on the ground with a door, and then just walk over, put your thumbs in their eyes, and just start banging their head on the ground until their head explodes. Fucking great.
Jesus.
Yeah, that fucking game is incredible.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there is something about the way that game does business that I'm really a fan of.
Huh, that's interesting.
That's kind of what I've been doing. I've been just playing a bit of my PS4, trying to come to grips with that. I guess sometime this week, whenever I finally give up on Revelations 2, I'll probably check out Bloodborne.
Right.
Just to give it a go.
Right.
Spoilers. I'm probably not going to like it very much.
You're okay with the Soul series, though, aren't
they're
you?
They're fine.
They're fine game, yeah.
I just get bored.
Yeah, after a little while.
Like, here's the thing, is that, like, I have gotten very far in both Dark Souls games, and I just come to a point where I'm like, I just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
It's not a rage quit scenario. I totally admit when I rage quit games.
Yeah.
And it's just that I just get bored in that game. It's, I do die. I'm not fantastic at those games.
Right.
But I get bored of the ebb and flow of combat with, you know, you always end up with those guys where it's like, well, great, I just get to sit here and, you know, I jab my shield at them to hope to break their guard so that I can attack them.
Right.
Because I can't ever get around the back of them to stab in the ass.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Maybe I should play them in a different way. Maybe I should stop being a shield guy and try to go great swords or something. But at that point, I'm already just kind of wore out.
Right. You don't feel like retracing your steps as a different character.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a hard time of... In that game, if you could re-roll like it was Dead Rising,
right,
where I got to keep something,
right, yeah,
and re-roll a character, I would probably do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody always told me in that first Dark Souls that you should be the Necromancer or whatever,
right?
The guy that can fucking throw fire and shit.
Yeah,
I've heard that that's the way to go, and I had done Sword and Shield Guy all the way to Ormstein and Smaug.
Yeah.
About halfway through the game, a little more.
Yeah.
Just kind of got bored. I was like, I'm done, man.
Yeah.
But at that point, I view that as the same way, though, as the way that I treat Final Fantasy games.
Right.
I almost never finish them. Right. But if I get 25 hours into it and go like, all right, I'm good here.
Yeah, right.
What's wrong with that? I got 25 hours out of it.
25 hours of a $60 game.
Yeah, I don't know. I, there's a lot of games nowadays that don't give you that.
That's true.
And, you know, Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2, I played them each for, you know, probably 20, 30 hours.
Yeah.
And
it's true.
That was all I wanted.
Yeah. The Order 1886 is one of those games that does not give you that much.
That is definitely one of those games that does not give you that. You know, it's. If you look at a game which is actually kind of relevant right now. Like last year's Wolfenstein: The New Order.
Right.
That was a first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
That was single-player only, no co-op, no multiplayer.
Yeah.
But offered such a quality campaign and a long campaign. For a shooter, that campaign was a very long.
Right.
And it made... I didn't regret that purchase for a second.
Right, yeah.
You know, I wouldn't think twice about it.
That was one of your top games in 2014.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm so excited for there's a new standalone Wolfenstein.
Okay.
That you don't even have to have the game for. It's not a DLC. It's actually a standalone game.
Oh, okay.
That's the Old Guard. It's something like that. Comes out May 5th. And I think it's only coming out on new consoles and PC.
Huh.
But yeah, fuck yeah, I'll play more Wolfenstein. Hell yeah. That show's awesome. And you can get The New Order now if you haven't played that. You can get that for like $20 all day. Like, yes.
Yeah, do that.
Yes.
Do that.
But yeah, that's kind of what I played this week. I didn't have a ton of time. I've worked like 70 hours this week, and I'm running on 2 hours of sleep. So.
Yeah, yeah. You've been working it hard.
It's like our live stream all over again.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. We're doing that again, too, so that's going to be fun.
Well, yeah.
You and Gus are doing that again. I'm not.
Why are you not doing that?
I might. I actually might have your PS4 box fell on me.
Bring your laptop and play some dumb game on my Lesbian Simulator 2014 or whatever.
You don't get to lesbian simulate. Max isn't a lesbian. At least I don't know if she is. Anyway,
what
but
about
that's,
Sam?
Oops, I don't know.
Same joke. Already made that one.
We did. We already went in there. All right. So basically, we're gonna go into news real quick. We're gonna cover this real quickly because we talked about our games for about half an hour there. There you go. So, what's the first one? Oh, yeah, Titanfall 2 has been teased.
Yeah, the developers said they have officially gone on record as saying that Titanfall 2 is a thing.
Yep.
They've also, there were some questions asked about, like, you know, the lack of a single-player campaign and, you know, some of the lacking modes that were in the original launched game. And they said that, you know, they're listening to critiques. So, it sounds like Titanfall 2 will probably have a campaign.
There you go.
Like a real campaign?
An actual video game
humans can play?
No kidding. That was the most bizarre thing about that game.
Well, it wouldn't be weird if it was a PC-only game because it happens all the time there.
Sure, sure, yeah. It was just like one of those console games that was kind of like, oh, we wanted this to like kind of capitalize on the, you know, the Call of Duty franchise, you know, capitalize on that audience and everything. And then it just... No campaign. It was weird. I don't know. But yeah, that sounds cool. It kind of became a favorite of people. Like people like
that game won me over. I ended up buying it later. Around Halloween last year, I ended up buying it.
Yeah.
They had a digital version that came with all the DLC for like $12.
And you're not the only guy.
Yeah, there's way more modes in it now. They added that that horde mode game mode to it. There's a mode that doesn't have any mechs in it, so you're just pilots.
Just pilots,
It's really cool now.
Yeah, yeah. And they added a lot of stuff that made it really diverse and a really fun experience.
I want another one of those. They went so far above and beyond to try to make good after the initial release.
Sure.
And the season pass is free now.
Yeah.
If you own the game, they're just giving that shit away. Just
giving it away.
So, yeah, like, they've gone so far above and beyond to try to make good that, yeah, I'll buy another one.
There you go. Cool. Right on. Next up, Quantum Break. It's been delayed.
Yeah.
Is there any...
Not shocked.
Is there any game that from this generation that has not been delayed to some extent? From this gaming generation...
Every Forza game has hit its deadline.
Okay, every Forza game. That's about it, I think. Yeah. I think your
what else matters.
I think your righteous indignation of Forza's entire series has been justified. So, because it's hit all of its deadlines, and that's the only thing it has.
You know what's funny is that somebody listening to this podcast is going to say, "Well, Halo 5's hitting its release date."
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Because it was originally supposed to come out last year.
Yep.
And then they did the bait and switch and gave you the Master Chief Collection, and then to really slap you in the face, it didn't fucking work. I can attest, it does work now.
It does work
now. I played it this... That's another thing I played this week.
Okay.
I got into matchmaking. It was going in and out of Halo 2, Halo 3... All these other different kinds of modes, adding new people in, it works.
Okay. Well, good. Good.
4 months after launch.
They
made 12-year-old games work.
They
great.
They tightened those screws up a bit.
Fucking assholes.
Oh, man. No wonder Bungie left, right?
How do you fuck that up?
I don't know how you fuck that up. You gotta tighten these screws on these 12-year-old games.
Jesus!
Hold on. We got the wrong wrench. We're going to need another wrench.
All right, I was offended. All right?
Okay, yeah.
My two favorite video game series of the modern era, not ever, but currently, are Forza and Halo.
Yeah.
It's the reason why, like, I love PlayStation. I love a lot of their games. But if you tend to notice that I seem to have favoritism towards the Xbox, it's very cut and dried.
Right.
The things I want are there.
Right.
And when the PlayStation has exclusives that I want, I will fucking go there.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know, say whatever you want about me. I'm a big fanboy. I'm, you know, in Microsoft's pocket. What? Fine. I don't give a shit. But you fucked up Halo.
Yeah.
Have you ever opened a Christmas present that was the most important one and it didn't work?
That's what it's like.
I opened up my Lego playset Star Destroyer that was Halo the Master Chief Collection on Christmas Day and looked at that, and I was so excited. And when I cracked the box, there was a dog turd in there.
That you can't assemble dog turds into a Star Destroyer. That doesn't make sense at all.
Where are all the game pieces, Mom? Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to wait 4 months, and while you're waiting, chew on this dog turd.
While you're waiting.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, appreciate it.
No, but that was a travesty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? They're doing their best. That Halo 5 beta went really well. It looks like that game's shaping up very well. 343 is not the ones who made the Master Chief Collection.
Right.
It was all shopped out to... Saber did the work for the Halo 2 remake, and then there were other companies that were doing the port work, and there were like 6 studios that actually worked on that game, and...
Yeah.
I had heard that that game was coming in hot. I didn't know it was coming in that hot.
Right.
And if they hadn't... They should have delayed that game.
Right. Right.
They gave the indication that they knew that there were going to be instability issues, but they had no idea it was going to be this bad.
Right.
But for it to have been that bad for that long, something was wrong.
Yeah, they missed a line of code there somewhere, I think.
And
track that down.
It really got under my skin, man.
Yeah, I can imagine, because, again, they delayed 5 and said, here, have this to tide you over, and that thing didn't work.
Well, and that's the really bad thing about this generation so far, is that you said that everything's been delayed.
Yeah.
The problem is everything's either been delayed or shipped broken.
Or shipped broken, yeah. Exactly, yeah, like Assassin's Creed.
Every PlayStation first-party title that uses the internet.
Yeah, every single one of them, just not...
Everyone.
Yep.
You know what? Killzone worked okay.
Okay.
That game worked fine.
Okay, Killzone.
But Drive Club was a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Little Big Planet 3 was a fucking joke.
Didn't work, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a bad scene over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it...
It's rough.
Fix your shit! Fix your shit.
It's like
I like video games.
I know.
This maybe comes as a shocker to you. I like video games.
Little bit of a surprise hit there.
Spoilers,
guys. Yeah, it's really weird, and I think it's fair to say get your stuff together. I'm fine with games being delayed to get it right, because you know I think you know. Miyamoto said, "Delayed game is eventually good. A rushed game will always be bad. Period." but, you know, it's like...
That's not true.
But yeah, well, a delayed game can, he says, will... It can be good.
Well, that can be good, and yeah. I also think that a Rush game can eventually be good.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they fixed Assassin's Creed.
It's true. In the nowadays...
They somehow made Assassin's Creed look better.
To be fair, when Miyamoto said that, there was probably no semblance of, you know, downloadable content.
Nintendo doesn't understand the internet anyway.
That's true.
Fucking be honest.
It's true.
We're like, I don't know, witchcraft? Come on. The Wii and the original DS used fucking GameSpy for their online servers.
How have they not made a freaking downloadable content Pokemon game yet? And it's just beyond...
There is one.
Is there? Where you can download Pokemon? Or, like, downloadable content for via...
There's that... Pokedex thing that you download stuff for. Dude, I don't know.
Really? I don't know. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, on to the next one. Speaking of Nintendo, Mario Kart 8 200cc mode.
Yeah, it's free update.
What's that mean? Is it just faster?
Yeah, you know, like Mario Kart...
I'm dead ignorant in that term, so I have no idea what you mean.
Well, Mario Kart has always in... Always and forever had 50cc, 100cc, and 150cc.
Okay, I got you.
50cc being the slowest, and also as, you know, 100cc is faster, 150 is even faster than that, so it increases difficulty, and it also increases how fast the cars are, which also increases the difficulty.
Oh, so it's just a mode of gameplay. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, I thought it was like a technical term. Right.
No,
okay, so 200cc, got it, so that's just like the track name, like Mushroom Course, Flower Course, Star Course, that sort of deal.
Well, no.
Oh.
No, you still play through the Mushroom, Flower, Star.
Right.
But you choose your class.
Your class 50. Of 150. Okay.
Yeah, think of it like there are motorcycles that, like, you've got a 650cc motorcycle or a 1000cc motorcycle.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so 200cc, first time I've ever had that. I wonder what that'll be like in a local multiplayer, because that game was... fucked frame rate wise in local multiplayer, and you make it even faster, I'm sure that's going to be a hot banger. They're giving it away for free, so I don't know, give it a shot. If you still own a Wii U, unlike me,
there you go.
Give that a go.
give that a go. How about that Mercedes tie-in with it? Remember that?
Yeah.
Why was that a thing? Who was that appealing to exactly?
Yuppies?
I guess so. All right.
Ask me anything about Mercedes.
Hey, about those Mercedes S-Classes.
I don't know a thing.
I don't know anything about
My those neighbor either. Owns an AMG that's really nice.
Yeah, they're pretty nice looking. But anyway, PS Home officially closes.
Yeah, they closed PlayStation Home this week. PlayStation Home kind of... Back, it was GDC of 2008. No, 2007 GDC is when they initially announced Little Big Planet and PlayStation Home.
Okay.
That was kind of their two initiatives for social interaction.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with PlayStation Home, it was basically Second Life, but in a PlayStation.
Okay.
Yes. They would build like these small cityscapes that you could go to. It's like, this one's the club level. And it's like, oh, we're gonna have a dancing mini game in here that's brought to you by Pepsi. Giant Bomb, if you're familiar with their videos, they played PlayStation Home for like until it closed.
Right.
Like that whole day.
Right.
And you know, there was just some guy that was in, like, a Dr. Pepper 10, like, machine outfit, so it was just a Dr. Pepper 10 soda machine walking towards you. Just real weird, tie-in, nightmarish kind of shit.
Yeah, bizarre stuff, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was dumb. Like, there was, like, I remember the one thing I ever liked about it was that there was this Red Bull Air Race, like, kind of a fight thing.
Okay.
I believe that ran on the Warhawk technology.
Interesting.
So I remember it flying pretty well.
Right.
And you just flew through rings and stuff and competed with your friends. The problem was you couldn't just boot that game. You had to go into PlayStation Home, get together on the same server with your people, and then launch.
Right.
So it was kind of a hassle. Right. But yeah, like, you know, it's for a while there, Sony said that thing was making boatloads boatloads of money from people buying shirts and hats, and you had your own like apartment. They called it your home, and you could buy like couches and shit.
Merch.
And yeah, it's
merch it up, John Cena style, bro.
I have no idea what kind of Eastern European weirdos were hanging out in PlayStation Home, but I bet that place was some kind of den of iniquity, man. Like,
it's good. It does feel like that, doesn't it?
I go watch that video. It's definitely it's not like weird porny like Second Life, but it's weird like
kooky.
Well, like strange tie-ins with branding that, like, and half of it was just like advertisements for PS4 games, and PlayStation was only on PS3, and it's like, hey, go buy a new fucking system, you hobo,
because we're closing this bitch.
Quit being poor, motherfucker.
We're closing this bitch down.
And like a lot of the modules didn't even work anymore. Like there was like some kind of big, like, Vita thing that they came upon, like none of the Vita stuff worked. Yeah, wow. Pretty awesome.
Wow, really nailed that one, didn't they?
Yeah, so PlayStation Home shut down. I have nothing more to say about that.
Well, there you go, cool. Let's talk about the big piece today. Is the last one of the day, then we're going to get into the Rez series. Kojima left Konami. It's a little bit of old news, but...
Yeah, I think we touched on this last week, but it's starting to become a little bit more clear.
Yeah.
The exact details of this. So, as of December, Hideo Kojima, Kojima Productions, is no longer affiliated with Konami. And they are seeing the completion of Metal Gear Solid 5. Mm-hmm. They are launching that. I would presume the reason they're staying on until December is that they'll prepare, maybe map packs for multiplayer or extra DLC episodes or something, and kind of complete that and leave.
Yeah.
This marks the end of around 25 years Kojima's been with them.
Right.
He's been there for a very extended period of time. It seems like, given where this lies in the Metal Gear timeline, that this actually closes the loop.
Yeah.
I think that it's very possible that at the end of this game you'll see the birth of the twins.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff in the Phantom Pain trailers alludes to Outer Heaven, alludes to the actual events potentially that lead into Metal Gear 1. Not Metal Gear Solid 1, but Metal Gear 1.
For NES.
The MSX specifically. Yeah. Because the MSX got Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2, and the US got a version of Metal Gear 1, but Snake's Revenge is not Metal Gear 2.
Right.
We didn't get that in the States. We got that Ultra Games piece of shit.
That's
Snake's Revenge.
Kojima hated that one.
Well, Kojima hates everything. I mean, come on. That fucking... granted, I don't like the Twin Snakes, but he hates the Twin Snakes. He never acknowledges it existing.
That seems like some Kojima would do.
Well, like, the Metal Gear Legacy collection that came out for the PS3, no reference of it at all.
Right, yeah.
It has every Metal Gear game in it.
Interesting.
And never mentions the existence of Twin Snakes.
Wow, there you go.
He hated that game. it's kind of like Tobunobu Itagaki. He hated Ninja Gaiden Sigma.
That's right.
When they made Ninja Gaiden for the PS3.
Yeah.
Never acknowledged its existence.
Yeah, didn't even like to mention that.
Just referred to it as trash. And, so it's kind of one of those situations where it's very clear that Metal Gear will be his final project, because on PT, the Silent Hills website, his production company, Kojima Productions, their logo and name has been removed from that page.
Right.
And it would appear that Silent Hills will either be finished by someone else, or that game may be no longer in production.
Ouch.
Which could potentially be a second Guillermo del Toro video game project that has gone nowhere!
It has failed. Oh, no. Oh, man. I really loved P.T., too.
P.T. was incredible.
It was incredible. It was something... It was... I could go on and on about why that game is utterly amazing in terms of video game playable horror.
If that's all we ever get out of that, though, I'm fine with that.
I'd be okay with that, because quite frankly, I don't think a full game would live up to the experience that you got from...
What if it did, though?
I know, I'm saying, if it did, holy crap. But, you know, I just feel like it was gonna eventually boil down to, you know, what survival horror is, and would probably kind of... Most of the gameplay would feel like this Resident Evil game. Like, you know...
So it'd feel bad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe not bad, but it's like, it would be... It would just be,
that game feels bad.
Because it would just be like Daryl from Walking Dead, like fighting zombies again. Like,
great.
I just feel like, and then every now and then you would enter a house and you'd have to go through a haunting.
Who's
like
Daryl?
The Norman Reedus, the guy that the main character's modeled after. It was the big reveal after PT. Yeah. So it was like Norman Reedus is the actor and he, whatever. Basically. That's it for the news. And speaking of Resident Evil...
Good segue.
It was a good segue. Yeah, I was
you just
it.
Rode in on that segue.
So, that's it. Talk about something else now.
You're a regular fucking Paul Blart Mall Cop, man.
Oh, boy.
I just made a reference to one of those dudes' movies.
You did, and there's a sequel to that movie coming out. My God.
I saw a trailer the other day that made me vom. It was Too Blart, Too Furious.
Yeah.
It made me want to...
It sounded like a South Park parody of Zookeepier. Zookeeper 2. Zookeeper 2. Zookeeper.
I don't know. Fuck you.
I don't know. Fuck you. So anyway, Resident Evil. We played a Resident Evil game today that was called Resident Evil Revelations Dose.
Yeah, let's not talk anymore about that.
Okay, we didn't. We're not going to talk about much more about it. Because it was kind of a... kind of a look into what that series has kind of become, basically.
Bad.
It's really bad, really weird.
I think that series is in its weakest state I've ever seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. A lot of people hate...
Granted, Capcom is in its weakest state I've ever seen.
A lot of people hated 6. A lot. And Capcom is in trouble. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Capcom is...
If it wasn't for Monster Hunter, they'd already be shut down.
They'd probably be shut down at this point. If it wasn't for Munhu...
Don't say that to me.
Who?
Don't say that to me.
But I'm saying it to the audience then, so you just gonna have to listen.
Don't say it around me.
Okay, fine. So yeah, Monster Hunter, really the only thing they got going for them.
I feel like when it comes to that phrase, you're like somebody's racist grandmother. It's like, just...
those damn Monhoos.
I'm okay with you saying it, just please don't say it around me.
Don't say it around me. I know it's different generation and everything, but...
I can't change you.
Damn Monhoos. Anyway. Alright, so we're going to talk about the classic version of that. Not cinematic, survival horror genre... That is Resident Evil. Kind of spawned a lot of games from that. Silent Hill included, in fact. Draw a lot of inspiration from those. But
yeah,
the
Resident Evil series.
Yeah.
You know, got its start in 95.
95.
For the original PlayStation.
Yeah. Was it really 95 when that came out?
Yes.
Jeez, man.
It was at least 95 in Japan. It may have been early 96 here.
Yeah, I think it was like 96.
I don't have notes with me.
That's fine.
For that. But so much of this I'm so familiar with that we'll just be able to rattle this off real quick.
We'll rattle it
off. Game was largely inspired by, whether they want to admit it or not, Alone in the Dark.
Right.
Alone in the Dark were very, very similar in structure, you know, kind of the original survival horror-ish. But the term was actually coined by Capcom. Survival horror is, in typical Capcom fashion, like sexy, stylish action. It's a dumb fucking name that they came up with. What do they call Metal Gear?
Action.
Tactical stealth action.
Tactical stealth action?
Whatever.
Right. Sure.
I call it backflip dumb shit. But yeah, so the original Resident Evil came out to... I still have a big box version of that somewhere.
Do you?
Yes. I was an early PlayStation adopter, mm-hmm. and me and my brother played that game.
Yes.
For so long. And we got stuck on the dumbest puzzle. I think back on it now, and the idea that we spent days in the same room with the crows, with the pictures.
The pictures.
Where you crows. Had to click the boy to the old man.
Yep.
We were stuck on that for days!
Days you were on that puzzle.
Because I refused to look it up on the internet.
Right.
You refused!
Didn't want to look at that. Yeah.
I kept getting killed by those fucking stupid ravens.
The raven hawks
or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. I love that original Resident Evil. Everything from the initial FMV with the Halloween costumes. Yes. Barry Burton.
Barry.
Chris Redfield.
Jill Valentine.
Rebecca Chambers. Albert Wesker.
Oh, man.
And another cast of characters that will be dead before the game starts. Carlos.
Oh, yeah, Carlos.
That motherfucker.
Oh, Carlos.
Hey, what was it? Brad Vickers?
Brad Vickers.
He was a helicopter pilot and he flies away. And
just flies off.
An asshole.
Don't go!
No!
Oh, man.
And an entire cast of hot, skinless dogs.
All right,
that's a really old industry joke.
Is that?
That I won't even explain. Hot, right. Skinless dogs.
I'm not gonna explore that one.
Though. Nope.
We'll just leave that to me.
That is an old video game industry joke. But yeah, so the original Resident Evil, it's a very peculiar game in the way that it controls.
Yes.
Largely the original three games, and to some extent Code Veronica, all control in a very similar style.
Yes.
Every entry in the series would add a little bit more maneuverability, like the 180-degree turn, like if you hit square and hit down, you could do an automatic flip, because the characters, you don't push in a direction you want to move.
Right.
You turn your character like a tank or a helicopter. Yep. Mm-hmm. And push forward for them to move, or down for them to move back.
Yeah, that exacerbated by fixed camera angles that change throughout certain areas. So,
well, and they made that actually work fairly well. If a camera angle, you know, when the camera angle would change, you would continue pushing up, and you would keep moving forward.
Exactly, yeah, you wouldn't have to. But it felt awkward, it felt disjointing. And all of that was deliberate. That's the thing about those controls, that people like to hound on those controls a bit. Yes, it was good they were eventually updated with the over-the-shoulder cam for 4, but the point of that was very deliberate, to make you feel like you were in a house full of zombies and you were kind of terrified of the fact. You didn't really want to combat anything. That's kind of what you were in for.
Here's one thing I'll say. I don't necessarily know or 100% agree with the explanation of, well, the bad controls are good because they make the game harder, or they're setting a pace for you. I think those controls strictly exist because using the game didn't have 3D environments.
Right.
The game had pre-rendered backgrounds. So think about it this way. You're walking around in a painting.
Yeah.
And you can't actually turn a camera. You can't change the perspective, because that game, that picture doesn't move.
Right.
You can't rotate a camera because there's nothing to rotate around.
Right.
It's a painting.
Right.
So the game would have these, and what felt very cinematic were these hard cuts to different angles.
Right.
So you'd be walking down a hallway, and they would always have these nice, like, kind of off-kilter to the side, you know, like almost like you're holding a camera, crooked angles. Right. Or
Dutch angles to it.
Yeah, very low angles, high angles, crooked angles. Yeah, there was a lot of quality cinematography that went into the angles in there,
yeah.
It didn't always make for great combat environments.
Yes.
Specifically when dogs were involved.
Yeah.
If you didn't initially kill a dog as soon as you saw it, it would jump past you a lot of the times and clip you when it did that, and then you would be staring at the edge of the screen, waiting for it to, for you to hear the hoof print, you know, their paw print tracks, so that you knew to shoot them.
Right.
And that's the only indication that you had. So much of that game is actually played through your ears.
Yes.
And for that time, I thought that was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
As somebody who's a big stereo guy.
Right.
I really enjoyed how much of that game is played through the audio.
Yeah.
That game's, it's very stringent in a lot of ways. That game, the survival horror aspect of that is that you never get very much ammo in that game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you are not allowed to waste shots.
Yeah.
If you're going to put someone down, put them down. Don't just pop a shot and leave.
Yeah.
You need to finish them.
You need to finish that off, yeah.
It's definitely... It's got one of the best shotguns I've ever used in a game.
Yeah.
When, if you've got a zombie shambling towards you, you click R1 to auto-aim towards them and push up.
Yeah.
So that you aim upwards. And just blow that fucking head off.
When me and my friends learned that, when my brother and my friends, we learned that if you aimed up just that little bit, and that was like the greatest thing in the world. When you hit two of them. You blew two zombie heads at once. It was like ultra satisfying.
You get that nice little that squish sound and that nice arterial blood spray.
Right.
There's a lot to love about the individual moments. Like the combat is not great in Resident Evil in those early installments, but the nice thing is it never asks more than you than its control scheme can handle.
Right.
You know, you're rarely fighting more than... And a lot of this is the limitations of the system. Rarely fighting more than three enemies at any given time.
Sure.
Groups of three dogs is typically the most. You rarely are ever in a room where there's three zombies.
Yeah.
It's typically two is the most.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2 amps that up a lot.
Yeah.
But also, Resident Evil 2 makes you much more maneuverable.
Yes. Yeah.
Cranks
up the maneuver. And I think, it probably is a lot of the limitations of it at the time, but I think they were very smart in the way that they included, in the way that they designed the gameplay around those limitations to give a better feel. I think it's all very deliberate to me. It feels deliberate to be inside, like as you said, inside that painting. So... The camera angles were very well planned to show you what was going on, or to hinder you in some ways of like, okay, that zombie's out of frame, but like you said, the audio, you know he's in there, you know he's right, you know, you can hear his footsteps, etc., etc. So, you know, it feels deliberate, everything about it.
And to, you know, kind of piggyback off of the audio... discussion that we had earlier, you know, I think one of the touchstones of that series is the door opening animations.
Oh yeah,
that includes the stair walking animations for you to be able to transition into a new environment.
Yeah,
I love that that their sound design for those was so good. I mean, for you to be at all interested in an animation of a 3D door opening, you know, a lot of that's got to be in the, you watch the handle turn, you see how the mechanism works, and you hear a door open, and the great thing about that is that when you were in carpeted environments, it was a very muffled sound.
Yeah.
When you were in hard floor environments, you'd hear that nice reverberation and echo.
Right.
When you were outside... and the doors were rusted, you would hear a scrape when the door opens.
Yeah.
There was a lot of intelligent design that I thought went into those animations that were strictly there to just hide load times.
Yeah, that's all they were doing was loading the next screen. It also built up a lot of tension inside of it because you'd open it up and there'd be a giant cobra on the other end of that sucker, and you didn't know that. And once that happened, it was like, okay, all bets are off. I don't know what's going to be behind this door. So
I I to this day, I think the first time that I found, is it Carlos there? The guy that gets bit by the snake.
Is it Carlos? I thought Barry got bit by the snake, didn't he?
No, it's another guy. It's another guy from the helicopter who gets bit in that first game. He's laying on the ground.
Right.
And Jill, this is when you're doing the Jill campaign. You have to go find the antidote.
Right.
In that room under the stairs.
That wasn't Barry.
That was not Barry.
That was not Barry. Okay. For some reason, I thought you had to save his life.
No, because that dude fucking dies.
That's right. He does die.
Even if you bring him the antidote, that dude fucking dies.
That's right, yeah.
And if you wait too long, you get bullets, which is great.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
but going to find that antidote and having that timer tick down is really a touchstone of the series.
Yeah.
That game, for it to be so leisurely in its execution,
mm-hmm.
and sorry, most of this conversation has all been Resident Evil 1 at this point.
That's fine.
We can talk on the other ones here in a little bit, but I feel like Resident Evil 1 is one of the most important games of all time.
Yeah.
It for me, like, I've played that game at least 100 times.
Right.
I have finished that game more times than I would care to admit. I just think it's fantastic.
Right.
But the... sorry, my dog's acting weird. One of my favorite parts about that game... is easily the amount of pressure, the amount of intensity mm-hmm. that they can ratchet up to you out of nowhere. Because almost all of that game exists in this very cold, very empty, almost leisurely paced to an empty house horror story.
Right.
There's no rush. And the moments that they do give you urgency...
Yeah.
Are intense.
Yes.
So agreed. The timer clock, the spinning timer for the guy that's dying, that needs the antidote, or at the very end where you start getting the flashing lights and you're about to get the self-destruct sequence.
Yeah.
When the nemesis, not the nemesis, the
Titan.
Wasn't the Titan?
What is he? The. It was Titan.
Tyrant,
yes.
When the tyrant is unleashed,
yes.
You know, all the red flashing lights, they do that stuff so well.
Right.
That self-destruct sequence was so pervasive in so many early Resident Evil games is it's just one of the most gripping things in video games.
Right, yeah.
I think Resident Evil 1, we've covered that pretty well, with the exception of one thing.
What's that? The voice acting?
Oh, yeah.
We haven't mentioned the voice acting. That's true. Yeah, that thing was...
You ever heard the porno thing?
I have heard the porn.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty all right. But yeah, the voice acting was like this really badly translated, just...
Barry?
Just not even attempt at decent acting. It was kind of shot off as like this like parody of B movies.
I hope it's not
Chris's blood. But it's so void of any type of acting ability whatsoever that to say that it's a parody of B movies would be an insult to B movies. It's so devoid of anything of decent quality. I don't know what they were attempting with it.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
Which they reciprocated in this
yeah,
game.
Resident Evil Revelations 2 totally has a Claire sandwich joke in it.
I thought that was pretty odd.
I did not. I did not.
That's a callback, baby.
That's not how those work.
That is how those work.
That's that's just saying words.
Yes, but it's a callback.
It's not a timely quality reference.
Oh, man, as we all know, Jill, the master of lockpicking.
The master of unlocking.
Of unlocking, that's what it is, the master of... Now, lockpicking's way too succinct.
I remember when I was, like, 13, when I played that. Even then, when voice acting was still a real novelty in video games, for me to listen to that line and go, what the fuck does that mean?
Like, well, just not even, like within that same era you had the Legacy of Kain game, the Soul Reaver game, which had fantastic voice acting and timing.
Soul Reaver was like 4 years later.
Was it 4 years later?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That was a 1999 joint, son.
Wow, I could have swore that was like right on the cusp of that same generation.
No, it was 99 and then 2001.
Really? Wow.
For Soul Reaver 2.
Huh.
Yeah, the only Legacy of Kain that was contemporary with that was Blood Omen, and that didn't have any voice acting in it.
Wow, okay. Well, I'm way off on my timeline, then.
Yeah, this is a big-box PlayStation game.
Yeah.
This is a Gen 1 PlayStation game.
That's right, yeah.
This is contemporary with Battle Arena Toshinden.
That's right, yeah.
This is pre-Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
It's pre-Metal Gear.
Yeah.
This is...
Woo! Man, that's
I believe good. This game... Yeah, it was pre-Twisted Metal 2.
Oh, wow, yeah. Twisted Metal, man.
Yeah, this is a...
My time...
Early PlayStation.
My timeline is ripped.
Resident Evil 2.
Yeah. Res 2. That was one of those games that was... That was the one that we played the most, me and my friends and my brother.
It is not as good as the first
one. It's not as good as the first one. It is...
I love the two campaigns.
It is cool. Like, I love the switch. It's basically like everything of sequelitis, like kind of in a good way, in a good manner, because everything's ramped up. There's more zombies on screen.
An alligator.
There's a big alligator that terrified the crap out of us.
That was awesome.
That was great.
Big moth.
Big moth was terrifying. You had two different.
Ada Wong.
You had two different characters to play off
Shoot
of.
Boner City.
You had two different characters to play off of that coincided with each other. It wasn't two separate campaigns, because you either played as Jill or you played as Chris in the first one, and it was all kind of the same deal. There was a few differentiations between the two, wasn't there, in the first
one? Yeah, like the second campaign,
yeah.
No matter what,
yeah.
Is the second campaign.
Right, yeah.
Most people typically start with the Claire campaign... First.
Yes, but in 2, it became a Divergent type deal. So
yes, yeah. In the second campaign in that with Mr. X,
yeah.
The dude in the huge green jacket,
yeah,
the green fucking jacket. Awesome,
yeah,
fucking awesome.
really cool character piece of that.
Looked so much better.
It looked better. The creepy, crazy taxidermist police chief.
Yeah.
That nut job. Like, just really, like, really stemming on, like, this whole weird character type thing that occurred in the first one. Voice acting is slightly better. Not very good. Slightly better.
It's totally acceptable. Even today,
yeah.
Totally acceptable.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, it's not like that.
What do you know about Resident Evil 1.5?
What was Resident Evil 1.5?
The unreleased Resident Evil 2?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, if you bought a PlayStation, here's a little fun fact.
Right.
If you bought a PlayStation back around 97-ish,
right.
On the back of the box, there was a picture for Resident Evil 2, and there's all kinds of footage of this out there.
Interesting.
Of Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
That... took place primarily in a jail.
Right.
The main character was still Leon.
I do remember
that. There's a second... the second character is still a female. She's got a different name, and I believe she's blonde.
Right.
And, yeah, like, it...
Was that made...
It was almost done. And Mikami said, I don't like this, and they pulled the plug, and it completely rebooted it. That's why that game... That's why the Resident Evil Director's Cut came out with DualShock support.
Right.
And that's why that had the demo for Resident Evil 2 on it, because they were going to take another year to do it.
Am I right in this? I might be right. Was that made into a different arcade game?
No.
No? Because there was... Oh, man. I feel like... Because there was a zombie game when the zombie game was at its, you know, at its first peak. It has again since peaked. But the zombie apocalypse game, there was an arcade game... That took place primarily in a jail. You had a blonde chick and a cop, but you had like kind of like you had melee attacks that were like roundhouses and stuff. It was a really weird arcade game.
Was that Zombie Revenge?
It might have been Zombie Revenge or something.
Yeah, that was a Sega joint.
That was Sega. Okay, interesting. Weird how it kind of has those same samey kind of. I just assume.
Well, and a lot of Resident Evil 2 does take place at the police headquarters.
True.
Yeah, but like the game was almost done, and Mikami, you know, sat down and looked at it and said, "Nah, we're going to reboot this." So they did that Resident Evil Director's Cut DualShock Edition and put a Resident Evil 2 demo in it, and went back and rethought a lot of it and redid a lot of it. The one cool thing about Resident Evil 1.5 that was not in that series. When Resident Evil 2 actually came out and has never appeared in that series, was that that game had all kinds of fucking dismemberment.
Yeah.
There is one zombie in Resident Evil 2 that you can cut in half with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And he crawls at you. Yeah. Well, Resident Evil 1.5, apparently, like, all kinds of zombie parts would fall off and shit.
Interesting.
Which, whatever. I'm sure that they took that, by taking that out of the scenario, is how they're able to get, like, 10 zombies on screen at a time in Resident Evil 2. There are some scenes in that game where there's just a lot of fucking zombies.
There's a lot, and it's terrifying.
I really enjoy that game. I think the CG in that game is actually pretty well done. Sadly, no FMV intro cutscene.
No FMV.
It's all
CG.
Yeah, the... I remembered when I finished... I think the first time I beat it, I played it as Leon, and then, what the hell is this second disc? And put it in.
Yeah.
And I knew that it said, this is the Leon campaign, and this is the Claire campaign.
Right.
And when it actually booted up, and it was not the same game as someone else...
Right.
I was really shocked.
Yeah, that it was a different campaign entirely from what you just did. You're not just playing as the girl a second time.
Yeah.
You're literally playing a different story that is going on at the same time as the Leon story.
Yeah, so. Seeing so many of those interactions from the other side, or remembering that, hey, I got a first aid spray out of this cabinet. It's not there now.
Right.
Or walking into a room where there's, like, a fallen bookcase that you can't get past, and... In this campaign, I'm on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Very cool. I thought they did a very good job of making a game that is like 90% the same content feel so fucking different.
It is, yeah.
It was a big package, with a lot of content to it that's, they did that Resident Evil 1 remake, and it was so damn good. They just recently re-released that on consoles. I wouldn't mind a Resident Evil 2 remake. Honestly, I think at this point that series just really needs a complete reboot. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a place. Like, you know me, I don't really like zombie games anymore. I'm kind of burnt out on them. Have been for...
Who isn't?
8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
But... You know, when a zombie game is done really well, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, Dead Rising 3 is fantastic.
Right.
And there's still a place for good zombie games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, without Wesker in the scenario, I love that they finally killed him off in 5. Without that resolution being there, that game was completely wasted.
Right.
But at this point, like, it's just completely aimless now.
Yeah. They all kind of adopted strange action movie aspects. It kind of started to mimic the movies towards the end there, which is odd.
Yeah, a lot of the things that were added into the movies were brought into the games as well, and it's not very good.
Yeah,
The third entry in the series, Resident Evil Nemesis,
yes,
is one that a lot of people missed.
I missed that one myself, actually.
It was very late in the PlayStation 1's lifespan.
It was almost over, I believe.
It was maybe 3 months before Code Veronica came out, 4 months before Code Veronica came out.
Right.
It was that same fall that the Dreamcast came out in 99.
Yeah.
And Resident Evil 2 had come out in, I believe it was February of 98. I think it was like February 26th. Look that up. Let me know if I'm right.
It's all right.
So Resident Evil 3 came out, and me and my brother, still big fans, sat down, played through that in like one night. It's a much shorter experience than Resident Evil 2 is, but that game is kind of fucking nuts.
Right.
It's the first appearance of the Mercenaries mode.
Right, okay.
It's the first appearance of that, which has become a time-honored favorite,
right?
Among Resident Evil fans, it's a kind of a timed mode where you pick up time modules to keep your
clock going.
Yeah, your clock going. Kill zombies to get points. Find pickups in the environment. It's very fun.
Yeah.
And you actually played as these Russian mercenaries that were in the game. They were Umbrella agents that you encountered during the game.
Right.
I love Resident Evil 3. The entire game is basically an action movie, but in a great way.
Yeah.
You're being pursued by Nemesis.
Yes.
Nemesis is a lot like if you took the Tyrant mm-hmm. from Resident Evil 1
yeah.
and put him in a black leather jacket version of what Mr. X wore in Resident Evil 2
mm-hmm.
and made him hella fast.
Put some gas in his ass, call Vince, fuck it.
And make him appear at random in the game the entire game.
Yeah.
And you can continue to run away from him mm-hmm. or you can put his ass down
yeah.
and he'll come back.
He'll come back. You ain't no killing him until the end.
And the great thing is, every time that you put him down, he just gets a little bit more, like, messed up. It's almost like that Batman Arkham Asylum, the way that they would have his armor degenerate over time.
Yeah, his cape
would just become less and less humanoid
yeah.
As that game goes on. I love that game. I talked earlier about how Resident Evil can create a sense of urgency out of nowhere.
Yes.
When you hear the fucking Nemesis music,
yeah.
you freak the fuck out.
Oh god, he's in the room?
Shit! I put the stupid rocket launcher in the fucking case.
Stars.
Well, I guess that actually leads me to one thing, that we haven't talked about. You know, no Resident Evil conversation is complete without referencing two things. Ink ribbons and a magical box.
Yep, yeah, ink ribbons and magic boxes.
Later installments in the series realized that having a limited number of save slots that were tied to stupid ink ribbons that you had to carry around and filled up in a spot were kind of dumb,
mm-hmm.
but at the time it was cool. It made you worried about, like, oh, should I save now? I've only got a few ink ribbons.
It was all about that's what was very deliberate about those first three games, is that it was all very much about putting you in a situation where you were not sure you were needed to use this if you needed to survive. It was like, I need do, like you said, like even save points. You couldn't just save the game. You had to have ink ribbons to put in the typewriter to save it, and you had a limited number of that. So you didn't want to save it until you completed something important. But you knew that something important was going to be hard and probably one-hit killish. So it just, like, everything about that game was very much about putting you in a sense of just terrifying urgency that you could die at any time. So I would say probably perfected that other than Silent Hill, the first one. I would say Silent Hill probably made that a touch even better than most of it. But Resident Evil just did it to a very, very large degree, very well done degree. So.
Now, this will hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Not the feelings, Hoss.
I think I'm going to hurt some people's feelings.
Okay. Because
you know how people get about games that they love.
They do, yes.
I'll say this. I love Silent Hill, mm-hmm. Silent Hill 2, and Silent Hill 3.
Yes.
I think they're fucking amazing games.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't play well at all.
No, not at all.
They are not fun games to play by humans.
I agree. The control scheme, like that, it's tough to say. That control scheme feels like it's running on the coattails of something else, and it's not done as well. It feels very weird to play again. The sense of atmosphere from those games, I think, is fantastic.
That's what they do.
And that's what, yeah, and that's what it is. But when it comes to actual gameplay, yes, Resident Evil actually perfected, balanced that much better. in every way, shape, and
form. And this may sound like just the ramblings of a crazy person, but, like, Silent Hill 2 is probably one of my top 10 favorite games of all time, and I don't think I ever want to play it again.
You'd like to watch that be played again, maybe.
Yeah, you know somebody what? Else I actually, I don't do Twitch very much, like, watching people play games.
Sure.
Like, I'd rather play a game.
Sure.
I'm just that kind of weird old man, I guess.
I, you know,
but
I'm the weirdo that likes Let's Plays, so, you know.
Yeah, I guess I'm just some kind of strange old man.
Grandpa.
But, yeah, like, but I will occasionally watch somebody play Silent Hill because I'm like, I don't want to fucking play that.
I don't want to dredge through that again, but I want to see that scene again.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see Pyramid Head fuck that mannequin in that closet.
There you go. Is that what happens?
I don't know. It looks like what he's doing.
I guess. He probably is. I don't know. Yeah. Pyramid Head's weird. But yeah, yeah. So.
You know what's really sad about that series is that, like, they were never able to find another iconic enemy character.
Oh, yeah.
So they kept finding conceits to bring him,
to bring him back
over and over and over.
Even though he's the demon of one guy.
Yeah.
Which is the point of the Silent Hill series, is that everybody has different demons. It doesn't make any sense that he even became a mascot. So, yeah, which is why, you know, Rez, they can have Nemesis be the mascot, because they don't care. Like, he's just a big friggin' demon guy that was genetically made.
Some kind of goon in a leather jacket,
exactly,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Did they try, like, God, he was in one of the movies, wasn't he?
Two, that was Resident Evil Armageddon. Or as I like to call it, Resident Evil Rubber Suit.
Rubber Suit.
Such an obvious rubber suit. Not since Goro in the Mortal Kombat movie.
Hey, he was a model, okay? Goro was a model, so.
Looked like a rubber-ass model.
He was a claymation. He was a claymation figurine about a foot tall. That's what he was. So, yeah.
It's real bad.
It's awesome. I love it. At least he's not ugly CGI like in an Armageddon. That one was, the second one was called Armageddon, or that one too.
Yeah.
Anyway, but let's go on to the one. Was this the first one that was not on a PlayStation format? Was
Well, there was Resident Evil Gaiden that was on the Game Boy Color.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Gaiden.
That was a Barry Burton joint.
That was a Barry Burton
That's
game.
That's the only, up until Resident Evil Revelations 2, the only Barry Burton playable joint.
Oh, poor Barry.
That wasn't like a multiplayer or like Mercenaries-ish, but
yeah. Yeah,
actual campaign-focused.
Actual campaign
game.
For him.
This would be the first non-PlayStation, especially for, like, what they consider the main line. Even though Resident Evil Code Veronica is not a numbered entry in the series,
yeah.
That is very much a mainline Resident Evil game.
It's considered canon very much so.
It is very much so canon. It is the, and the main way that you can tell...
Mm-hmm.
Is that it contains two characters that are key to the series that are in every important installment.
Yeah.
Chris Redfield.
Yep.
And Wesker.
And Wesker, who are both in that.
So. And that's where you actually... This is the next reappearance of Wesker.
Right.
This is where you learn that he is the one who is commanding the hunters.
He's not in three at all, huh?
He is not.
That's interesting.
He is not.
Hmm. Cool.
This is where you see his crazy fucking eyes.
Yeah, underneath the glasses, yeah.
Yeah, that game is...
Oh, yeah, that was Code Veronica where you see his eyes. Okay, yeah.
Fuck yeah, that game is fucking great, man. I'll play it right now.
All
right, I don't give a shit.
Code Veronica.
I own that game on the Dreamcast.
We should play that.
Yeah, totally fucking should.
We totally should have played that before this podcast. Oh, well.
Yeah. But yeah, like, Code Veronica is... really interesting in a lot of ways. Code Veronica, the longest Resident Evil game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one campaign.
One big campaign.
Yes, instead of being split into two campaigns, this is a single campaign over that during the course of it you play as two characters.
Mm-hmm.
You open the game as Claire, You're on a prison island, very much like... What is it with Claire and prison
islands? Yeah, this feels very much like... You said this feels very Code Veronica.
Yeah, I'm really starting to think about this more, and I'm really feeling like I'm getting fucked with here. but yeah, she wakes up on a prison island, blah, blah, blah. She ends up getting in a plane halfway through the game, which you think is the end because you're getting the flashing lights everywhere, and you get in this plane, this cargo ship, and you go to leave. And the tyrant's on there. Hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues from that.
Yeah, you end up crashing in Antarctica, and you play the rest of that game as Chris Redfield.
As Chris Redfield,
who traces the distress beacon to find Claire.
To find Claire. There we go. I have a soft spot for these characters. I really do. I guess because it's just when I was a kid, you know, we played the first one. It was one of the first times where I kind of connected with a game in which people had, like, real names. You know, there's always, like, you know, Mario and, you know, they're always kind of mascot-y type things. This is kind of like the first game that I experienced where it was like, oh, this is real people. Because Ninja Gaiden, I called that guy Ninja Gaiden. I didn't call him Ryu Hayabusa. I know it was all over the friggin' thing. I called that guy Ninja Gaiden. That's what he was to me.
First name Ninja,
last name Gaiden. That's how that works, right? It just like, because I was a dumb kid, I didn't associate with them as being, you know, characters. The only one that really did that was maybe
Simon Belmont,
but I didn't play Castlevania until I got older, though. Yeah, I was not a Castlevania kid, but
I had a terrible childhood.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I didn't play Castlevania. It was when I was older that I played Castlevania. It was really interesting. Mega Man, I guess, but again, that's mascot-y.
Mega Man,
you know. It was all sort of... This was like kind of the first time where it was like, oh, real people or movie people.
Well, and you've got people, FMV stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the nice thing here is that the... Especially when you're talking about the original game, you get that... you know, you get the FMV aspect where you see that this is a real person... But the real upside is that you don't have to fucking play an FMV game after that. You play a real video game for human beings to enjoy.
Exactly. You don't point and click and listen to people.
I know I said earlier that I like FMV games, but I like a lot of things that aren't good, so...
You know what? That calls it. I'm calling it, we need to play an FMV game for the next one of these episodes.
I think I know what we should play.
Okay, well, we'll get to that towards the end of it. But to finish my point off, it's like, I kind of like had a growth with these characters. And I kind of gravitate towards any of these games. And I know it's kind of a fanboyish thing, but whenever they bring back a character, I kind of like nod my head and go, yeah.
I never do that.
It's just, it's really weird because I was actually kind of excited about 6 because they were bringing back... Sherry? Is it Sherry or Shelley?
I don't know.
Sherry from 2, which is the little girl in 2. They bring her back in, and I was kind of like, oh, that's cool.
Here's why that doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
And granted, listeners of this podcast know me. I take a piss on everything. But they always do that. It's always like, well, here's Ada Wong. And guess what? Whenever Leon's around, that bitch shows up.
It's true. Yeah, Ada Wong always shows
up. Who gives a shit?
I don't really care about Ada Wong that much. For some reason, she just never connected with me, you know, like, which is odd because she's a hot Asian. But, you know, whatever. It
makes sense why she didn't connect with me.
I got it. Thing is, I don't know, it's just something I really enjoyed about those. I have an attachment to those characters whenever they show up, which is kind of like that game looked really bad that we were playing, Revelations 2. Like you said, the enemies look dull and stupid, and they look like Outlast characters, and I'm just like, I don't get it. But I kind of want to see...
They look like if Outlast characters existed in a Tool music video.
Like they're background characters in a Nine Inch Nails.
I keep waiting to hear
Trent Reznor to walk out in front of them. But yeah, that's what it feels like. But I do have an attack. I want to know what happens with these characters. Might watch a Let's Play of this just to see what happens with these characters. Because I like Barry and I like Claire. So
why do you...
Barry, because he's Barry. He's, you know, it's just, come on. He's Barry. I know the name from the first one. I have an attachment.
I feel like this is an abusive relationship at this point.
I just have an attachment to it, and that's all. I don't know.
That's it, and that's all?
That's it, and that's all. I just have an attachment to those characters, and I appreciate it whenever they show back up. It'd be nice to see, like, a new character entirely, but, you know.
I would wear a shirt that says videodestruct.com, that's it and that's all.
That's it and that's all.
That's we should make that shirt.
We should make that a new tagline. There
that's,
you go.
That's it and that's all.
That's it and that's all. When we get some more viewers, we'll definitely do that. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, self-destructive entertainment, baby. So, yeah. I think that's going to do it for the classic look, unless there's anything more about Code Veronica you want to mention.
You know, Code Veronica is a very twisted story. It's got, like, this set of twins. They're fraternal twins? Is that where one's a boy, one's a girl?
One's a boy, one's a girl, yeah.
Yeah, they're fraternal twins. There's, like, this almost, like, incestuous nature to them.
Yeah, that's right. I remember those gross. Two. Those weirdos.
Yeah.
That made for good villainy, you know.
It did.
Yeah, it made them creepy.
Felt like, oh, they're French.
Yeah.
Oh,
weird European twins.
I always feel like French people are banging each other.
Yeah, regardless if they're related or not. Yeah, they're just
constantly
all about that. Yeah. It feels that way.
Drinking way too much wine and just banging their sister.
Sorry to any French listeners out there.
Yeah, we're real big in
real
France.
Real big in France. I've seen the numbers.
The metrics are bearing this out. But yeah, like I thought they were fantastic villains. I thought that the resurrection of that sister later on in that game was awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
I really... There is a callback in that game. You just mentioned earlier callbacks with them reintroducing characters and that doing it for you.
Right.
There's a callback in that game that does it for me.
Oh, yeah?
That does it for me.
For you? That's amazing. What is it?
Big time. In the facility in Antarctica,
yeah,
there's the fucking original mansion's in there.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
You walk into that room and you see a mansion, and it looks like you're outside, but you can see that all of the lighting is painted on the walls and everything. And you walk in the front door and you're like, oh shit, I'm in the mansion.
And it's the same layout and everything.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
That was fucking awesome.
That was pretty cool, yeah. Then that mansion is basically a character anyway. So
that game, you know, I said it earlier, that game is the first introduction that series had to full 3D environments.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it still had static cameras, but you saw many more rolling cameras.
Yeah.
That followed behind you like the Dino Crisis series had.
Right.
So they were a lot more fast and loose mm-hmm. with moving the camera. So what you actually started to see were there were moments where the camera would follow you.
Yeah.
But it wasn't attached to you. It's not like you had a boom camera that was behind you.
There wasn't a Lakitu, like, following around you on a cloud.
Exactly, right. Exactly. There was there was none of that.
Yeah.
That game introduced some cool kinds of guns that would actually multi-scan on enemies.
Oh, cool. So one would lock to one and one would lock
yes,
to the other?
Yes, and it didn't necessarily work super great because they wouldn't stay locked on.
Right.
But if you clicked aim and then shot and then clicked aim again and then shot, it gave you the option to be able to take down more enemies faster.
Nice.
Game has a bad Leonardo DiCaprio in it.
Yeah, I call him Skeet Ulrich. He had a Skeet Ulrich vibe to me.
Poor
man's Johnny Depp.
Yeah, poor man's anybody.
Poor man's anybody.
He had a real bad voice actor.
He did. He had that nasally voice. Oh, yeah, you just wanted to punch
Sorry
him.
Sorry about that. That's my
story
from him is when he first shoots at you in that game and you shoot out the spotlight that he's shining down on you, and he goes, Sorry about that. I was like, fuck this guy and his stupid swept over haircut.
Oh, man, was he like...
And what's great is that in that game, in the Dreamcast version of that game, he had the year 2000 haircut for Leonardo DiCaprio. They re-released that game in 2002 as Code Veronica X with the Wesker Chronicles on the PS2. Changed that dude's haircut to the one that Leonardo DiCaprio had in 2002.
Oh, wow.
I shit you not.
So they were clearly going for something.
That was fucking deliberate.
They were going for DiCaprio for that one.
Sorry about that.
A well-known DiCaprio line.
That's in the Wolf of Wall Street.
That's in the Wolf of Wall Street, I believe.
And What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Sorry about that. And The Great Gatsby. My God.
It's a triumvirate.
Yeah, it's weird.
He's always got to slip that in there. It's like Johnny Depp, you know, referencing Hunter S. Thompson. It's it's always there. Yeah. You just may not notice it.
Denzel Washington say, I guarantee it. I guarantee that. You ever seen that
montage? You can believe that.
You ever seen that montage?
Yeah.
I guarantee. That's fabulous. Oh, man. But, but that's going to do it for our little retrospective, I think, on Resident Evil, the classic series.
We can maybe talk about, in future installments, some of the side story games, like the Gun Survivor games.
Right, I never knew those.
Yeah, there were, there's several portable games now.
Only side game I played, I think, was the one starring Rebecca on the Cube.
Resident Evil Zero.
Zero, yeah, I think that was the only side one. It was not that good.
Let's talk about a Resident Evil game that stars a rookie 2 weeks before she is shocked and unable to shoot a gun during a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Fighting zombies with guns in a zombie apocalypse.
Well, I don't know. Does it go through any kind of story?
Nope.
That she gets her guts and starts going? Nothing? All right, cool.
Because this is still before that. It still doesn't explain how she doesn't know any of this shit.
Was it really before? I thought it was like during.
No.
Really?
Yes.
I could have swore it was like during.
2 weeks before.
I thought it was like, what?
It's called Zero.
Yeah, but I assumed it just meant it was going back to like as that was happening, like as all the mansion stuff was going on. This is what she was doing.
No.
Wow. Yeah, why is she shocked at any of that stuff then?
No.
Oh man, you fight black goo like in Prometheus. I remember that.
Well, it's not black goo. They're like little salamander things that form dudes.
Yeah, form guys. Yeah, they're like little squirmy black sperm.
They look like the things from the movie Sliver.
Yeah, they do. They do look like Sliver things. Yeah,
I love the movie Sliver.
Slither's awesome. It's a good movie.
Slither is
a guy knows what he's doing. That crap. Oh my god. Oh my god.
James Gunn.
James Gunn. Yes. Jeez, that's gonna kill me. Did Guardians, did Lollipop Chainsaw.
Did the Dawn of the Dead remake, which isn't bad.
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead remake, which is okay. James Gunn knows what he's doing. So there you go. He should do the new Resident Evil movie that's not ever going to come. Actually, they're probably doing another one because it's the only thing that justifies Mila Jovovich's career.
Well, and her husband is Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yep, the guy who makes them. That's the only reason they still get made.
Yeah.
Well, they also bring in a lot of good money.
But isn't Paul W.S. Anderson doing the next Underworld movie that doesn't have Kate Beckinsale in it?
Is it going to have Mila Jovovich? I would assume.
Probably.
He probably will just cast her in as like...
What was that Mila Jovovich movie from like the early 2000s where they tried to cover up her bad skin by, like, over-fucking-bokeh-ing the entire film?
I don't know. Oh, was it the Equilibrium movie? Or the guy that did Equilibrium?
It was similar to that?
Yeah, what was that fucking movie called? It was, like, the same guy that did Equilibrium, and it was real dumb and terrible.
Well, and it was around the time, I guess, that she had had her baby, and, like, she had, I guess, developed some kind of, like, eczema or something.
Right.
And they just... It's like watching a Barbara Walters interview where there's, like, that Vaseline
just
on the screen.
All bloom. Yeah.
Like, holy shit!
It's just all bloom.
And it is a crock of shit. I took my dad to see this thing.
Is that the one with the anti-gravity bike? Is that the same one? Yeah, that's the one where she has the... What is that stupid movie called? Oh, it's gonna kill me. I'm going to look that up. And like,
IMDb is going to ruin this podcast.
It is. I'm not looking it up now. I'm going to insert it right here. Okay, that's what that movie is.
You didn't do that.
That's what I'm going to do that.
It's that one.
It's a post one. It's a post, yeah. Put that in post, Brandon.
Got it. You're not going
to
do that.
I'm totally going to do that now. I have to now. I'm committed. What's this? The 42-minute mark. Got it.
We're only at 42 minutes?
Yeah, well, hour 42.
Oh.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, we're cranking this one out. It was a long one, but it's okay. We covered four games, so.
It's a game series I'm pretty passionate about.
Yep, and I enjoy it, too. It's a good series. Go play those old games. They've been remastered in every other fucking format you can think of, right?
Two is available on the PS3 as a download.
Yeah.
So is three. Code Veronica X is on the 360. It's on the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 4 is everywhere.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 1, the remake, as I said, just got re-released on modern consoles as well as PS3 and 360.
Yeah.
PC as well.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest sticking point is that if you're like an Xbox guy, 2 and 3 will be hard to get for you.
Right, yeah.
And if you're a PC guy, the ports of 2 and 3 were shit. up until really Devil May Cry 3, all Capcom PC ports were garbage. The original Resident Evil 4 port, they don't even sell anymore. They remastered that game and re-released it because that port was so bad.
Wow.
Terrible.
We need to think this over.
Yeah. it's like fucking Saints Row 2 on PC that just doesn't operate.
It doesn't operate properly, yeah. There you go. So, go check those games out if you've never played them before, you youngins out there. Understand what you're playing. Know these characters. Know why all this stuff, where all this stuff happened and how it originated, because that's a pretty fun, stupid series, and I love it.
Yeah, I don't know if they necessarily hold a lot for somebody today, but, you know, those games, like, on the PlayStation Network downloading, you know, those games, if you get them on sale, they're pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Normally, they're only, like, $6.
Yeah.
So even if it's just, like, a museum piece of, like, well, I played that for a couple hours, and I know now what that was like.
Right.
It can be worth that if you really want to know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to love, especially in 2 and 3. But if you're going to play Resident Evil 1 now, I would say play the remake.
Yeah.
Because they added a lot to it. I don't necessarily think it's superior to the original, mm-hmm. but if you were going to sit down and try to play it now, I would play the remake.
All right, cool.
Just because the graphical enhancements are so significant mm-hmm. that it still looks like a fairly modern game.
Right.
As opposed to Resident Evil 1, as opposed to Resident Evil 2, looks bad.
Yeah.
And Resident Evil 2, by today's standards, kind of looks like trash.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, so you're looking... Worse than trash is real bad.
It's real bad.
So, yeah, I would say probably, you know, give them a go, man. I don't know. It's... I don't know what... Somebody who likes the modern games and has not played the old ones, I don't know what the fuck they would think of those old ones.
I don't know either. It's really bizarre because it's such a stark contrast of you know... They had to update it.
But there wasn't a lot of outcry when the Resident Evil remake came out for consoles recently. It sure. sold really well, and I didn't hear a lot of people going like, what is this?
I can't play this. It's not all the shoulder camera.
You're like the kids from Back to the Future 2. It's a baby's toy.
It's a baby's toy. That was Elijah Wood. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, one of those kids is Elijah
kids
Wood.
Weird.
Yeah. It's a baby's toy. But yeah, that's going to do it for this one. But next week, I think we've called it. It's on to FMV Hell. What are we going to play that is an FMV title, Hoss? What are you going to play for that one? You said you probably know what we should play. Do you have a copy of the Ripper? Because I'll play the Ripper.
I think I could probably get us a copy of Ripper.
Copy of Ripper, yeah. With
all right,
Christopher Walken.
We'll tentatively say we're gonna play Ripper.
Yeah, okay.
Next week, if for some reason I can't get a hold of a copy of it, we'll play an FMV game for next week.
Okay.
But I do want to play the Ripper on this dumb podcast.
Ripper is actually one of the only one of those I have seen to the end. I've played it, and I did not finish it.
You're playing Phantasmagoria?
I have not played Phantasmagoria, but I have seen all of Phantasmagoria 2 all the way to the end.
Phantasmagoria 1, that weird sex scene is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Is it the first one? It might be. Is that the one where you got the pet rat? Is that the first one or is that the second one?
That's got to be the second one. Okay. The first one is where the husband is basically Henry VIII.
Okay, yes. That's the first one, yes. So, I've not seen the first one.
No. I'm Henry VIII, I am Henry VIII, I am. I had to sing on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Every time. We're tentatively going to say The Ripper.
It'll be an FMV game.
Starring Christopher Walken. This guy is un-fucking believable. All right, we might be doing The Ripper next week.
We may have to do that at Eric's house.
But we will be doing an FMV game.
Yeah, we'll do an FMV game for next week.
Yes.
One last thing before we go.
Okay.
What? Did you hear they're making a new Night Trap?
They're making a new Night Trap? I did not hear this.
Yep.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Dude, let's play Night Trap instead. Fuck Ripper. Let's just play Night Trap.
As part of their Kickstarter to make Night Trap 2, they're going to do like a remastered version of Night Trap 1.
Oh, man.
Night Trap!
Night Trap!
You're going to get caught in a Night Trap! Oh, God, that game!
You can lose that game by not hitting affirmative at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Oh, man.
Let me say one thing about Night Trap real quick. Fuck Night Trap.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Fuck Night Trap. Because like the best scene in that whole game is when all the girls are standing around and they're singing the dumb song in the living room.
Yeah.
And you have to be off there killing Augs.
Yeah. You can't be in there.
You can't actually be in there.
No. It's a trap.
I just want Data Plato to love me. What's weird about that?
What's so weird about that, man? Oh man, this game is so stupid. The only way you can play it is with a freaking. A guy.
Fuck Night Trap.
That's what we're ending it on. Fuck Night Trap. Go play Resident Evil. They should do a Resident Evil version with Augs. That'd be alright.
So like the entire game, instead of having a shotgun, you just have a Genesis controller and you're just flipping dudes inside the geometry.
Yeah, you're just like opening them up doors.
Bad ragdoll. They're just like,
Resident Evil meets Night Trap. I'd be down with that.
Well, the weird thing about the end of fucking Night Trap is if you actually play through Night Trap, the whole, like, twist at the end of that fucking game where the family turns on you makes no goddamn sense.
It isn't.
Because if you're playing the game the way you need to be, you never know that they're gonna turn on you. Fuck Night Trap.
Fuck Night Trap.